The days of being nothing but a number to the airline industry may be over. You may soon be a number and a color. The second version of the computer-assisted passenger pre-screening program, otherwise known as CAPS-2, will compare a passenger's background with a huge computer database and then assign the passenger a color based on his or her perceived security risk. And according to today's Washington Post, this could all happen in a month's time. Joining us now to talk about the details of CAPS-2 is Wired contributing writer Ryan Single. He joins us by phone from his office in San Francisco, and good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me on, Neil.
How does CAPS-2 compare to CAPS-1, the system currently in place?
CAPS-1 is a system that's run by individual airlines, and it runs on various triggers, things that are fairly well known at this point. If you buy a ticket with cash, if you buy a ticket at the last minute, or if you get a one-way ticket. And then airlines also check your name against watch lists that are provided to them by the federal government.
And so CAPS-2?
CAPS-2 is a more centralized system. All airlines and essentially all travel agents will now be required to ask for additional information. So every reservation will have your name, your address, your phone number, and your date of birth. Airlines will then, before they fly, it's not clear at this point how far in advance of a flight they're required, but they need to send that information to the TSA, which then compares it against private consumer databases such as LexisNexis, Axiom, which are
basically
credit databases.
They Google you, basically.
Essentially, they Google you. They're trying to determine, are you who you say you are? Then they assign you a score, and that comes back to the TSA, and then the TSA will check your name against a number of sort of black databases, terrorist watch lists and sort of NSA databases, to see if you look like a terrorist or not, and then they assign you a score from green, yellow, or red. Green, you get the same scrutiny you get now. Yellow, a little bit more than normal, some additional screening, sort of hand screening, and red, they basically call the police on you.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this color like permanent? Or, I mean, if you're assigned a red color, you're going to be doing a lot of driving.
If you were red, you were definitely going to be doing a lot of riding. It's not sure if you're yellow, whether or not that score will stick with you, if it makes you more liable to get yellow in the future. It's very unclear. There's the details of how that works is being held sort of very closely. The TSA feels like the sort of publicity that CAPS got after 9/11 and the sort of knowing what the triggers are, that was kind of a tip-off to malefactors. So, you know, a terrorist these days would not buy a one-way ticket.
What do the airlines think of this?
The airlines are they're worried that people are going to feel like their privacy is being invaded every time they fly. And they worry that that's going to keep people from flying. They're really worried about the bottom line. They want people to feel both safe and that the privacy is being taken care of. They don't particularly care whether or not they give the information to the government or not. They just don't want bad publicity.
Now, they're sort of been resisting this plan, but they may just be ordered to comply.
They have been resisting mainly because of bad publicity that Delta Airlines got for volunteering to help with testing last spring. And then after JetBlue, it was revealed that JetBlue gave its passenger database to a defense contractor. So they've been in negotiations. It may be this is actually good for them that, you know, they say, well, it's not our fault. The government says we have to give your information over.
Let's get callers involved. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. And Bill is on the line from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I just would like to say that I think it's wonderful. I would love to be color-coded. I just got back from a trip to Europe, a Christmas trip, and on the way back, even my check baggage was going through. It took forever. And to think that I could just walk through and wave to everybody, it would be great.
Would it ever be possible, do we think, Ryan Single, for Bill and his family just to be waved through?
I don't think you're ever going to be waved through. The question is does a profiling system make us feel safer, or does it make us actually safer? And that has yet to be sort of proved. The other question is who is going to get screened? If they're trying to verify your identification, they're going to be using mentioned. So some people have great credit. If you own a house and make a lot of money and have lived in the same place for 10 years, you're going to look good. But if you're poor, if you're a college student, if you move a lot, if you've been the victim of identity theft, you're more likely to get colored yellow.
Bill, good luck on your next flight.
Well, thank you very much. I don't make that much money, but I have lived in the same place for a while, and I think my credit's okay, so I hope I'll be green.
Well, there is a proposal. Thanks very much for the call, Bill.
Sure.
There is a call for a frequent flyer program or trusted traveler. How would that work?
That would work that someone who flies a lot, probably a business traveler, would apply, probably pay some money, $50 a year, and then they would go through some sort of screening process. I would imagine it would look at where they work, whether or not they have a criminal history. It would be essentially be a credentialed program that would get them through the line faster, wouldn't go through the color screening process, but it would be a program that would, from a safety standpoint, you would have to continually check people, so it would be every year. And the arguments against that is that you never know, you know, when is a terrorist a terrorist? You know, if someone can get the trusted traveler, you know, sort of card, and then eventually sort of become someone that's upset or angry and wants to do damage, they're already cleared. So there's that problem of how do you make sure that somebody in that program doesn't eventually become the person you're trying not to let on the plane.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Mohammed, who's with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi. My question is, first of all, the population that's going to be targeted, obviously, are people who appear to be Muslim or Middle Eastern-looking and sleeping cell members and all of those horrible names. So that's the obvious population that will be targeted. And how is this different than Jews being given yellow tags in Nazi Germany? Are people thinking about what is happening to civil liberties and basic human rights in this country?
Would ethnicity be a factor?
Obviously, if you're a sand nigger, as
yes.
People from the Middle East are called.
Ryan Singel?
You know, it's hard to say. From what I understand, ethnicity is not going to be a part of the program. It's unclear in terms of the sort of quiet databases, the one you can't see, the sort of black box databases, whether or not that includes more information about Muslim people than, you know, other programs. Than other ethnicities, but I would, you know, I can't say that they intend to go after Muslims.
But presumably, that list exists under CAPS 1, which is in force now, as well as CAPS 2.
Yes. The list they use, they don't yet have a consolidated watch list. There's about 12 of them. One would assume that there are a large number of Muslim names on there, and that has caused problems in the past because names are not unique identifiers. So there was a man named, I'm trying to remember his name, Sheikh Iqbal, who had the same name as a terrorist who had already been captured, and he still had problems flying for about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm. So, Mohammed, you're still skeptical.
Well, this is a question of demonization of one quarter of the planet's population, which is a racial issue, a social justice issue, and eventually an ecological issue. The people in charge of the U.S. foreign policy need to look at why is the planet, most of the people on the planet are starting to hate this country. We should look at why we are hated, not to evade the question and not to target people who do have very, very legitimate grievances against the horrible policies that is being practiced in the name of this noble constitution of ours.
Mohammed, thank you very much for the call. I'm afraid we're running out of time for this, and we appreciate it, though. And Ryan Singel, thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much, Neil.
Ryan Singel, a contributing writer for Wired magazine. He joined us from his office in San Francisco. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.